It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 759. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also Facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com or just go directly to instanthousecall.com. This show is also brought to you by Magnusbox. They are your solution for secure, reliable, easy to deploy online backup. This is for partners and resellers only. The software supports all platforms: Windows, Windows Server, Mac, Linux. This is your one-stop shop for all of your online backup needs, including the new bare metal backup. That means you can do a full image backup online and you can restore it to completely different hardware and you will be able to get up and running and get your clients up and running. Great software, great backup. Check it out. Get your demo. Go to magnusbox.com and remember, tell them you heard it on the Mike Tech Show, and your first 3 months, your platform fee will be half price. Great show lined up. Going to talk about an office activation fix that I've been running into a lot. And I think I mentioned this a few shows ago, but worth mentioning again. I have a couple links for Windows 10 20H2. It's actually solving problems for some of my clients. They've messed up so many updates. I think this one's a keeper, at least so far. I said that, and now tomorrow the phones will light up and everything will go horrible. And then I got 5 emails, including a great step-by-step instructions on getting Evernote to load automatically on startup from a listener, Kate. Let's begin with the Office activation fix. If you're a client or yourself, you keep getting Office where it says you need to sign in and it's not remembering you. That's when you gotta search for Windows Credential Manager. Bring it up, and every entry that relates to Office, delete it, remove it. Then what I want you to do is reboot, launch Office, sign in, and it will replace those entries with new ones with the proper credentials. Now that should hold, and you shouldn't have that problem anymore. I have another issue with OneDrive where it keeps signing out the individual for OneDrive. So that's another annoyance, and I've been doing this fix for them. And I get it like every couple months. It seems like every time there's an update, they break something, and they break something. Microsoft breaks something with Office. So just an annoyance I wanted to talk about. Windows 10 20H2, the new update, I have deployed it for a few clients where they started running into issues. Then I started, I never do this where I actually applied it to a couple clients and it actually fixed a couple issues. One was a keyboard issue. It fixed it where an update before, I think it was the October update, killed the keyboard, and then now that this 20H2 fixed it. So I've already deployed it in our two test systems and the main system I'm using right now. I think I read somewhere where it fixes 112 problems. So unbelievable. The first link is the known issues for this update. And you might receive an error when accessing the sign-in options or the or users' MMC snap-in. There's errors issued during or updating devices with ConnexNet ISST audio drivers. Now, these are very specific. So this link, the first link in the show notes, is covering known issues. So take a look at that and make sure before you deploy it that it's not impacting you. Now, the update, I found usually one of these major updates takes forever to install. It's actually pretty fast. And it installs with, I haven't had any issues. They've updated some Microsoft Edge. There are several changes that help improve the security of devices that scan Windows Server update services for updates. And let's see, deployment. We have a guide for deployment where they've made changes. Windows Autopilot, the Windows Assessment and Development Toolkit, device management. They've extended security, Microsoft Defender for endpoint, Microsoft Defender Application Guard for Office. So there's a bunch of little improvements, but the big thing is the fixes. So this second one is what's new in Windows 10 version 20HT for IT professionals. So take a look at that. And I just want to keep everybody up to date. And this is why you have to have a test system and you got to run it and then check it out. And one of the nice things I like about this update, it's fast, it's clean, and at least so far from our deployments, and it includes the roll-ups of all the previous updates. So I was shocked at how fast it downloaded, installed, and the reboot, because 2004 took an hour and a half. That was ridiculous. That was just utterly ridiculous. So now 1909, I agree. Nick in the chat, he's 1909. To me, that was the last stable version of Windows 10. And 2004, I would like to know, Nick, can you jump from 1909 to 20H2? And I think you can with the Windows Update Assistant. And you might be able to just leapfrog over 2004, over 2004. And I highly recommend that to users, where if you can avoid the pitfalls of 2004 and go right to 20H2, there you go. Okay. Nick's going to give that a try. I would recommend that. As a matter of fact, I've taken all of the USB sticks that we have, and I've now downloaded the latest media creation tool, and I'm holding up the Win 10 20H2 bootable USB stick. We have to keep several of these always. I keep some legacy. I keep one of 2004. We'll keep a 1909, and I think we have a 1903. We have no 18s. So we keep a 1903, a 1909, a 2004, but now any new installs, we're going to go right to 20H2. And that's one of the big things. We have so many USB sticks. And I'm going to hold up I have to update Acronis to 2021. So with Acronis, we always build the Acronis, and then I label it with the year and then a W for Windows and an L for Linux. So that keeps us, keeps things going. The Windows 10, I only build 64 bits. We don't even look or consider 32-bit Windows 10 anymore. As a matter of fact, if we ever ran across it, you can't go from 32-bit to 64-bit directly. It's a complete redo, and we will recommend that and redo it. All right. I have a stack of emails And the first one is from Terry, and it's about the autosave save as Word with OneDrive. Mike, on my home Office 365, if I open a OneDrive Word document, I can toggle off autosave, and then I get save as. Yes, and that's something I have to do that on my machine in Florida because that's where it was just driving me crazy. On my work OneDrive Word, on a work computer at my office, there is no autosave option, so the file menu has save as. And that's really, as long as you can toggle it off, and I just didn't realize how easy that was until I explained how Kate walked me through, and there's save a copy of, you know, or I forget how they word it, but that's another term to look for. Now, speaking of Kate, she took the time, and I kind of misread her follow-up on Evernote where she contacted tech support. One of the things she wants is, and I think everybody, why doesn't Evernote have an option to auto-start? You have to manually go through a process. So what has Kate done? She has developed a PDF, and she emailed me the PDF, and I have it posted online, and it's for you to download. And she says, Mike, I attached a PDF version in case you want to upload it that will show people what I did. Got it to start with Windows, but can't make it start minimized. I don't want it to open when Windows starts. I just want it waiting politely for me in the SysTray. Anyway, it's a very nice upgrade, that the new version. Unless you or one of your listeners can help with the minimize part, I think I'll just take it out of startup and open it when I need it. And that's sort of how I work. I have it pinned to my taskbar, and I open Evernote when I need it. Now, luckily, my Evernote automatically, the add in for Outlook. I always want to post something from Outlook, maybe that whole email and the attachment. And what I want to do is be able to add it right to Evernote, to the proper client info, or, you know, the proper folder that I have. And what I've done is I use that all the time in updating notes for client. So Kate continues, after you open it the first time, every darn day, when you close it, it sits in the SysTray just like before. This has made me more irritable than you might think. Absolutely necessary. Please consider asking your listeners to reach out to the @EvernoteHelps on Twitter and ask the guy politely how to get Evernote version 10.1.7 or better to auto start. I just had another update today to 10.3.6, and that feature is still missing. Maybe they're complaint driven in their feature section selection process. So, what Kate has done, built the instructions on a nice PDF and a procedure for taking the Evernote program file and putting it in the proper place so it'll start for Windows 10. She also goes over how to possibly get it to start minimized, but that's kind of, it doesn't seem to be working. So, Kate, thank you so much for taking the time and the effort of putting that PDF together. It's great. Me, I just click Evernote when I want it, and I seem to do it all the time. And since I never turn my computer off unless there's an update that has to reboot, I leave my computer on all night long. So it's always in my SysTray. because I've launched it. So maybe that's why I just don't notice that it didn't auto start like that. So it's kind of interesting. All right. But Kate, thank you. And that PDF is available to download right from the show notes. This email is from Bob. I just finished listening to your latest podcast covering the scams. They have gotten out of control with these calls lately. They were supposed to be working on a program called Stir Shaken that was going to give us some relief on some of this stuff by validating the source of these calls. I haven't seen any relief from this program yet. He has a link to the FCC.gov for call authentication. And he also has the definition. And I think it's interesting with Sean Connery just passing away. And this is stir shaken. And he always wanted his martini shaken, not stirred. So what does stir shaken mean? Stir shaken is a framework of interconnected standards. They are acronyms for the Secure Telephone Identity Revisited, that's STIR, and signature-based handling of asserted information using tokens standards, that's SHAKEN. This means that calls traveling through interconnected phone networks would have their caller ID signed as legitimate by originating carriers and validated by other carriers before reaching customers. That sounds like a brilliant idea. Stir Shaken digitally validates the handoff of phone calls passing through the complex web of networks, allowing the phone company of the consumer receiving the call to verify that a call is in fact from the number displayed on caller ID. I have also been using a program called Hiya on my iPhone to help cut down on this stuff, which has helped, but they are always jumping to new phone numbers. That is correct. I get killed on my iPhone. I have got these calls from the IRS, the FBI, Microsoft, and others. I can't remember at this moment. And ones like the one I just attached, which I am now going to play. And this is one that Bob received.
Activities. So when you get this message, kindly call back on our number before we begin with the legal proceedings. That is 601-286-2256.
So my recommendation is send your landline to voicemail and have the voicemail automatically email you with the attachment of the wave. Or what I train people, take a look at the phone number, the caller ID. If it's someone you absolutely know, you pick it up. If you don't, you let it go to voicemail. And you want to know something? I used to, before it went right to voicemail, I would let it ring twice. And it was so bothersome, even those two rings, I said, that's it. I'm just sending it to voicemail. And before the show tonight, we were talking about this. I'm just getting rid of the darn line. Why do I need it? Because I still have some companies that now have that landline number as my main number. So I must change that. And so I got to track down like my prescriptions and think, you know, the pharmacy. There's credit cards. There's a couple things that are attached to my main number, my banking. So I have to go in, make sure that it's only my cell phone, and then I can get rid of the landline because I got to consolidate. I want to untether myself from regular cable, cut the cord, cut the cable, and cut the landline, and just have my gig up and down internet like I have for Verizon Fios, which I love it. And that's exactly how I'm set up in the Florida house, where I decided no way am I going to run any cables or have cable. I have three Fire Sticks on three TVs, and it's working beautiful. Love it with all of the streaming services I have and everything that I need for any content. One of the things I have is a VoIP main number, which I could use also for my business, and I could give that number. So we have a traditional VoIP phone number for MHS Consulting, and I have an extension in Florida, which makes it really easy and nice, and we like all the features for that. Okay, this was a question from a listener, and I don't have the email anymore. They were asking for a password manager recommendation for Synology. And just with some searching, I found Synopass, Synopass, password manager for Synology. So I have a link for that. Check it out and see if that helps. Anybody that has a password manager that's integrated, that they have working that app with Synology, let me know and I will share it. This email needs some help here. It's listener Mick. I'm from Melbourne, Australia, and I listen to your show and have been for quite a while. I help out a voluntary self-help group with their computer and technology needs on a peer-to-peer network. They run a variety of older Windows 10 computers. I have created an everyday non-admin rights user account. I would like to create a batch file, PowerShell script, schedule a task or whatever, and have it check and run all available Windows updates when they power down their computers on a particular day, or every time they turn off the computer, whichever is easier. Or if there is a free piece of software I can install that will do that. Then more than happy to use that. Some computers are only used on one or two days of the week, and others on more days, dependent on what tasks they're doing. Any advice gratefully received? Cheers, Mick. Mick, good question. I don't have any clients that fall into that scenario, but I do remember helping a company years ago deploy computers in a library. And on every reboot, it was re-imaged. And they would, when it would reboot, it would just blow everything away. And it was a fresh build. And it was fast. And I believe they used software, and this is years ago, and this cost a lot of money, Alteris. But now, I believe there's a better, I think there's, the Fog project I've talked about, which is a way for a Pixie boot where you could have it set. Is it okay to just blow it away when it reboots and just have it deploy the latest? But then you'd have to keep updating the image so it would be the latest updates. So I need a solution for Mick that I can talk about and recommend. If someone could record a voicemail on what they've done or lay it out, send me the details, and I will pass it on to Mick and also talk about it. What's the best way to script? And I will, as John is listening to this, I'm sure you have a recommendation. So hopefully I will be able to get some sort of script or a suggestion on what's a great way to build in to the task scheduler a way to update. Now, I'm trying to think, is there a way to manipulate the way Windows 10 is set up to help you with that, where it would just do automatic updates during a certain time, but that's not going to help you because what if the system's not on and at that particular time? So how can we have a closing batch file that runs and just executes the update? Maybe I just answered it, which is to get that in a closing script for a batch file, that this is the only way the system can be shut down, and have it automatically do and check for updates. So could use some help for this. And thank you for that question. That is it. Little shorter show here tonight. If you purchase anything for Amazon, and coming up Black Friday, you're not going to be out there during the pandemic standing in line anywhere. You're going to want to buy online. Amazon's going to have incredible deals. You got Christmas coming up, the holidays. Purchase from Amazon. But before you put something in your shopping cart, use the link that Carrie Holzman and I share. That is the best way to support Carrie's YouTube videos, Tech Vets, the Mike Tech Show. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to us. And we really, really appreciate your continued use of that link and helping us. It makes a big difference. We really, really, really thank you. Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show. Get your free 15-day trial. Magnus Box. Mention the Mike Tech Show. That's where you've seen it. You're going to get discounts on your first 3 months platform fee. Go check out the demo of that. You'll love it. And then Fabs Auto Backup had a tremendous project on Sunday using Fabs. So my son was on site. I was remote. And had a very meticulous client who his laptop and his email is set up in such a way that with his multiple email accounts, his rules, everything, he now got a new laptop. My son set up the new laptop, took the hard drive out of the old laptop, plugged it in with a USB cable. It was a solid state drive and had Fabs Auto Backup running. And he gave me a call. I used Instant House Call, remoted in, and launched Fabs. When we were done, I was able to go in to control panel for the mail, and all I had to do is put the email passwords in, and Outlook booted up beautifully. And this is a very, very complex profile, multiple data files, multiple PSTs, multiple OSTs. This is about as complicated as you could get with Outlook, and Fabs handled it beautifully. So big props to them. Check that out if you ever got to transfer something like that from one system to another. That's it. I actually was able to record this on my regular time on Thursday night. So hopefully see everybody next week, the show before Thanksgiving, next week, because we're taking off the week of Thanksgiving for any podcast. And I'll see you same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.